Davin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a Santa Claus with no Christmas music. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And the under the weather in a remote studio in a vomitorium, Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
Fantastic. On the show, comics in the news and the change this election and the results of it have brought to comedy. Joe has a new installment of his annual holiday Santa Hell gigs. Looking forward to that. Drunks in the News featuring Nickelback. Yeah, you heard that right. And holiday scams you need to know about. But first, I don't know, you guys aren't huge Star Wars fans, but you're aware of what's going on, that there was a new movie released. Yes?
Yes.
I went to see the Rogue One, the new Star Wars movie, the morning after it came out. Last year, I went by myself, and I felt like a creep sitting in a theater in the middle of the day alone to
that
watch a Star Wars.
Last year, that was the long-awaited one. That was like a really big deal, right?
They're all really big deals, Joe, and how dare you say otherwise. They're huge effing deals, my friend.
Okay.
But yes, that was a long one in the making. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that was The Force Awakens.
And they had this one ready to go right off the bat.
Oh, yes, they're going to be an every year thing now.
So I hear.
Yes, this is nerd heaven.
Does this take away the spark or the anticipation or the magic?
Joe, a good kiss is a good kiss.
Yeah.
And if we weren't on Terrestrial, I wouldn't have used Kiss.
Funny.
We got Jabba the Hutt over there.
That's funny.
But, yeah, no, it's still good. I mean, maybe the spark will go, but heavily anticipated.
Right. Okay, very good.
So I went the next morning, actually got the wife to play hooky with me, so I was less creep-like.
Right. Now, what time is this film start in the morning?
This was the 11:30 show.
11:30 show. And what day of the week was
this? This is Friday, Joe.
All righty, then.
Thursday, I was doing radio on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't go Thursday. And I generally don't go Thursday. I find now with the Star Wars, the next morning is a good time to see. Because it's usually just me and a bunch of lonely dudes.
Right.
Like
You're not at the 12 midnight with all the nerds.
It's not nerds. Fans, Joe.
Fans.
Fans. Fans. Nerds, if you will. But no,
take
I'm
my
not,
sleep.
I'm not there because I'm an adult and I got things to do.
There on a Friday.
No,
at
I mean,
12.
Honestly, at midnight I'll be falling asleep. I won't enjoy it.
Right, exactly.
Weird. No, but I'm there, ready to go. 11:30, mm-hmm. Good to go. Now, what this movie was, I didn't like it as much as The Force Awakens, but what this movie was good at, it cleared up a plot hole that was 40 years in the making.
Like, oh, really?
There was a huge, I'm not going to say what it is for the folks that haven't listened. Haven't seen it. They want to see it, whatever. But it is good. The CGI was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good movie. Star Wars fans are going to enjoy it. I'm not sure if the non-fans are going to enjoy it as much, but there's amazing fight scenes. And either way, it made Disney a lot of money, and that's what counts. I guess you can't have anything nice now without somebody getting offended and doing the new American tradition of being outraged over nonsense. So this time, the delicate flowers finding anger out of nowhere were on the right. We've talked about it on the left. This time, it was on the right. On the internet portion of this show, we just did a whole bunch of nonsense on the left and delicate flowers that need to chill. But now for this portion, we're going to talk about the right. So there was a boycott of Rogue One, a Star Wars story, because for several reasons. There was a diverse cast. You know, I guess you can't have all white monsters. I don't know.
A diverse cast.
This is a diverse
It's space.
Well, Joe, racism knows no bounds.
You know, an org with 9 heads, that's hard. We don't want that kind here. Star Wars movie.
I am with you, Joe. I am with you. We are simpatico on this. Also, there was a female lead that offended some delicate flowers on the right. Apparently, if you're going to save the galaxy, you need to have junk. I guess. I guess you can't have two orbs in your front. You need to have a lightsaber in between your legs. I don't know. These are things that would never cross my mind to get pissed off about. They're just not.
Because you're not nuts.
I'm not nuts. Well, not in this way anyway.
Yeah.
So the alt-right.
That.
Yes. Yeah. The alt-right is boycotting the movie. And last month they started a tweet called Dump Star Wars. And encouraging their followers to skip the film when it opens this weekend. prominent alt-right mouthpieces say the Star Wars franchise has become too politicized and even explicitly anti-Trump. All right, here's the thing. Star Wars has always been political. It's always been about the Empire, and then the prequels really, really brought that home about it being a political movie.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-Trump, the writers and cast spoke out against white supremacy and hate. They did do that of this movie. At what point are we where that is not political? We're speaking out against hate and white supremacy is not a political thing. I would like to think that was an American values thing shared by the left and the right, but apparently I'm wrong. Apparently I've made a mistake. According to alt-right leaders, the problem isn't that Rogue One writers and cast hate white supremacy. It's that Trump supporters feel attacked by the film, says Mike Cernovich, an alt-right social media personality. Are you? You have a Twitter account with followers. You're a personality? Yuck. Giving money to people who attack them is pathetic, he says. I'm going to organize more boycotts. Listen, I saw the movie. I knew this boycott was happening. Unless you're going to say that Trump is the evil empire. Unless that's what you're doing. You're saying, well, Trump is the evil empire, which I am not here in this case. I don't see it. There were no characters saying big league. There were no droids with an orange mop on their head and extremely small hands. The Star Wars cantina didn't go bankrupt. There was nothing there. I was looking. There was nothing anti-Trump.
Were they going to build a wall across the galaxy?
That would be good. Keep the Ewoks out. Yeah. They're small and hairy. Piling into a bunch of speeder bikes. Sure. There was nothing there. I mean, if you want to look to get offended, you can. You always have that option. But I was looking.
You know, you said something very interesting. Look to get offended.
Yes.
I think a lot of people look
yes.
to get offended.
And the right used to, likes to say, well, that's a left thing. And I've criticized. There's a lot of people on the left, and we talked about this before, Pip, that look to get offended. But the right is just as guilty of that. And this is why this is why you and I went back and forth on somebody else's Facebook page, because the right has as many pansies as the left. They have a bunch of juveniles who are looking to get pissed off at stuff. Really, a holiday cup? Really, you're going to boycott? I mean, people like it's an American thing. It's not a left thing. It's not a right thing. We have it too good. We're not. Most of us aren't homeless. Most of us have full bellies. But we have the need to be outraged, so we make up garbage to be outraged about. This is a case of that.
I agree. I think because mostly now with Facebook and everything, everybody's got a platform, a soapbox now. 20 years ago, you didn't hear all this.
No, thank God.
Yeah.
Now the writer of episode one, Chris Weitz, please note the Empire is a white supremacist human organization, to which Gary Witter, another writer, responded, opposed by multicultural group led by brave women in response to the big old backlash. So they were kind of going firing back at them. But yeah. Okay, the Empire is white supremacist. And I was thinking about it, and you know what? Except for Bounty Hunters and Empire Strikes Back, I don't really remember too many African-American characters on the Empire or Latino characters or monsters in the Empire. Okay, it's a white supremacist organization, but that doesn't mean it's against Trump. It shouldn't mean it's against Trump. If it does mean it's against Trump, then you're the problem.
Yeah.
If that's what you think Trump stands for, then you're one of the deplorable people, and I don't give a darn that you're offended.
It's it's just the look. How do you boycott Star Wars?
I'll tell you what, it didn't affect Disney's bottom line. The movie did very well.
Oh yeah, they're not sitting there going, "We have to have a rethink on this."
No, I mean, this is why I get so upset with you on that Facebook thing. When you go, "Well, it's the left that's a bunch of pansies and get offended."
Well, the whole thing is that left is more prominent about it than the right has been.
Oh no, the right is prominent. You just have to look for. Remember the Dixie Chicks?
The Dixie Chicks spoke against.
They spoke against President Bush. Fine, I'm not saying they should or they shouldn't have, but the right got their knickers in a panties over that.
Watch the language.
But that's what both sides do. It. Stop it. So this thing's going on. They actually got Mark Hamill involved. He played Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And so he put out there that Luke Skywalker might be gay. No, Mark, he's not gay. Because if you recall Star Wars Nerds and Empire Strikes Back...
You got to straighten this out
right here and now.
I'm going to nip this in the bud.
I have to call Luke Skywalker.
Enough is enough.
I have to call Luke Skywalker on the carpet. I need to tell him how to do his job. Luke couldn't be gay because he made out with his sister Princess Leia, and he was pretty freaking happy about it.
So incest is the way...
Yes, Luke might be incestuous.
But he's not gay.
Yes!
Well, thank God for that.
Lightsaber, or are you just happy to make out with your sister?
No, I mean, there's a big scene. He came back from being attacked by the monster. Han Solo rescued him. He's recovering and all. Han Solo and look at me, the nerd. Han Solo and Leia are having a tiff. And what does Leia do to make Han jealous? Makes out with her brother. Now, they didn't know they were brother and sister, but that was a full lip-to-lip lip lock, and Luke was feeling pretty good about himself. So don't give me this, he might be gay. I'm not having it. A gay man does not respond to making out his sister with such delight. I assume. Well, I don't have a sister, and I'm not gay, so I can't really speak.
Funny.
But yeah. So I think. So everybody, knock it off. When we come back, more problems. Don't go anywhere. We've been talking about this next thing on and off, my escapades throughout the country, and how Trump has changed the game, so to speak. He really has with this whole election. So we're going to do a little comics in the news if I can find the jingle. Even if we can't find the jingle, we're going to do it. But here it is, a little comics in the news.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
So Rolling Stone did an article about how it's changed, and they interviewed comics who predominantly play in New York and L.A., and how the audience have changed and how it's made them adjust post-Trump victory. And they didn't usually take a comics that you would know by name, like a Wanda Sykes or an Amy Schumer, who've certainly had their highly publicized escapades with Trump supporters. So what they found is that these are comics that people don't know, and they're trying to find the right amount of bipartisan funny in the political commentary while they're trying to remain cutting edge. So they're trying to have successful shows and still be current, which I admire. But so they interview these comics, and I think it's a mistake. I think the first mistake that they made is to interview comics who predominantly play New York and L.A. without going to places where Trump is more popular. Trump is not exactly very popular in New York City or Los Angeles. Can we all agree on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
You go to other regions of the country, places I've toured, the Southeast, the Midwest, Trump is a lot more popular. I also work New York City, so I get the perspective. I get New York City, and I work a lot of clubs where people from all over the country and the world come to laugh when I'm in New York. So I get it. But these coastal comedians say that before the election, people seemed much more quiet and almost embarrassed by their support in Trump. But since the election, supporters have been much more emboldened. I don't think so. I've encountered plenty of vocal Trump supporters throughout.
Before the election and during the election, not me. And usually I do a lot of right wing stuff, and I've walked the line on that, gotten silence a lot of times.
But you're performing in New York.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I'll do a lot of my material. You heard my act, and my act has got like kind of a right wing tinge and stuff like that to it. Now, I've gotten people where I haven't gotten big laughs, I haven't gotten this, but I have people leaving the club going, I'm so with you. What you said was right on.
With you about ketchup.
But but you know, spot on, you know, about.
Really?
Yeah. Because a lot of people were afraid, and that's the whole thing. That's what surprised everybody. A lot of people did not voice their support of Trump because they didn't want to hear it.
Well, I mean, I remember, and I told the story on the air, when I was in Indiana, I had these young guys just going, Trump, Trump. I wasn't even talking about him at the moment, but they were so supportive of Trump and so drunk that they were,
probably more the alcohol.
Right, but that's what they were doing. I haven't encountered this shame of voting for Donald Trump. I have encountered people that are very proud of their decision to vote for Donald Trump. So this is a little foreign to me, and I haven't really noticed people being more maybe happier that he won, I guess, if you supported Trump, because beforehand you didn't think he was going to win, mm-hmm. most likely. But I haven't noticed a change. I think this is, and again, you know, with all due respect, you play predominantly the New York, New Jersey area. Both states went blue.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to likely have more Hillary supporters in those areas, where I played a lot of states that went red.
Mm-hmm.
One of the comics know that they see less minorities in the clubs now. I have not noticed that either.
I don't think that's true either. I haven't noticed that.
No, so I'm not sure about that.
And what is interesting in the Manhattan, the whole city's minorities. It's true.
Does that make them the majority?
The whole city's minorities, yeah. Of ethnic, let's rephrase that, predominantly ethnic groups. So to say that is kind of ridiculous as well
article. I haven't seen that. Like I said, the thing I've noticed all along is I've never seen a politician, be such delicate, sensitive flowers as the Trump fans. I never saw it with McCain. I never saw it with Bush. I never saw it with Obama. I never saw it with Hillary. But with Trump, we definitely have delicate flowers. And I've talked about it on the show, so this is nothing new, that do not like when you goof on their guy, which is ironic because he's supposed to be the guy who tells it like it is, but they don't want other people to tell how they see it. So I have noticed that. DC Benny says that bringing up Trump is the quickest way to lose an audience. Now, I've heard this from other clubs, that comics are losing audiences with political materials. I think there are two reasons for this. First, many people are not plugged in to current events, so they don't have a point of reference. They don't really know the ins and outs of what's going on in the day-to-day politics that a lot of these political comics might know. So you're going to have that disconnect there. Also, let's be honest, there's a way to do these jokes. And not every person can do political material. But there is a way to do it where most sane people go, you know, I like Trump, but that's a funny joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always going to be the lunatic fringe. But that need a safe space. But I don't think that's every Trump supporter or the majority of Trump supporters. I think if you're a polished comic, you can still pull it off.
Well, they got this thing, Helen Hong, who I know is a sweetheart, Asian American comedian, and she begins her set with, "Hey guys, does anyone know what it's like to pack for an internment camp?" And she's always, which is a funny line.
It's a great line.
You know, but in the past, that line has always done well, but now she's saying she's met with harsh boos.
Well, what the story said was she opened with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard open. That's a hard open. It's a great, let them get to know you, Helen. it's a funny line. We both agree, but that's a hard open. Mm. I mean, it's hard to open. I did political stuff. When on election night I was on stage, the night after the election night, the days I did it, I did the stuff in the moment. I knew how to do it, but that's a very divisive but very well-crafted joke.
Yeah, well, with the political stuff, I mean, I'll go on and I'll do my set, you know, about $15 an hour that McDonald's workers are complaining, and they say they're getting crap pay, and I say because you got a crap job. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I'll walk that line because that's what I believe, that job is not worth $15. And I'll goof on it, and I'll give my bullet points on it and stuff like that. Now, that's the line that's the line I have to walk on that joke. Now, with the election over, maybe some people will be behind me more. But that's the line you have to walk. And sometimes with political material or material like that that's kind of edgy, that could go either way. You pick and choose your battles to do it any certain night, whether I'm in the mood to deal with it or in the mood to not to deal with it. Right before, 2 weeks before the election, I went on and my sets were pretty much milquetoast because everybody was such on, and you really didn't see it much in the country until this election, where everybody was so on edge. Literally 2 weeks, pretty much 2 weeks before the election, where I just didn't feel like going there. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I just wanted to make it nice and milquetoast and stuff like that. Now that it's over and we're beginning to settle down, I'm, you know, the past 2 weeks I've been, you know, going back into it. So, you know.
I don't pull off. But now this next thing disturbs me.
New York comic John Lasseter says that a week after the election, his personal frustration reached a boiling point when he performed at Gotham Comedy Club. When after the set, some of which featured anti-Trump jokes, a white middle-aged person came up to Lasseter and said to him at the bar, "Man, you were really funny, and you're black." Lasseter said he and the small group around him awkwardly waved the remark off, but the man wasn't through. He said, "Since Trump won the election," he continued, "there's a lot America needs to consider. We need to put the politically correct stuff to bed now. I should be able to call you the N-word." Of course, but he said the N-word.
Okay, yeah, all right. But on that one, I mean, it's one more. I mean, the guy is a moron. So it's not to say, you know, it's not, you got, and you always have that moron.
But I will speak to this, and I've spoken to that on this show, where I have encountered the racist D-bag is certainly emboldened by Donald Trump. I have encountered that. So I feel bad about it, because they think Trump gives them cover. They're not being politically correct. No, you're being an a-hole. There's a difference.
I think you're always going to get that guy. He's just got a new topic now.
No, I never got it like I got it now. You know, I experienced it being Jewish. I've talked about it before. This guy experienced it being African-American. So I think that's what's going on in the clubs. When we come back, our annual tradition of Joe bringing mirth and merriment to the kids. Don't go anywhere. This show is airing in many places on Christmas Day, and we have our own little Santa Claus who brings his special je ne sais quoi to the children wherever he goes. Just always joyful and happy. Except when things go bad, then not so much. And we call these our annual Santa Hell Gigs.
Christmas, where friends and family get together and share the warmth and happiness of the holiday season. A big part of this is Santa Claus, who spreads hope and joy to children throughout the world. But sometimes, it just don't turn out that way. No! Santa has to deal with stupid parents, bratty kids, traffic, lousy parking, tolls, having kids go through my candy cane bucket like they're piranhas, holding a piss in for 7 hours straight, being loaded like a pack mule to lug in presents into their stupid house. And if you think I'm unpleasant for 11 months out of the year and I'm going to change for one more, you're nuts! Welcome to Santa Ho 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 Hell Gigs!
Oh, Santy, what did the mean people do to you?
Oh, where do we start?
The beginning.
All right. I live on Long Island. I do Santa gigs in New Jersey. And I get to my first stop on...
God bless you, Santa.
Hold on. Santa's got to sneeze. I get to my first gig. And I get... Number one, it snowed on Saturday.
Well, you're Santa Claus. That's supposed to make you happy.
No, not when you're driving down the BQE. So... I get to my
Rudolph doesn't go well in snow.
No, so I got to get to this place at 3 o'clock. I get there at 3 o'clock on the dot, and I call, and nobody answers the phone. I love when you call these people. You got to be there. Nobody answers the phone, so I can tell them I'm there.
They were expecting you down the chimney.
No, they got the party. So finally, I get the guy on the phone. I go, "Hi, it's Santa Claus."
That really what you said?
Yes, I call up. I'm Santa Claus. Hi, I'm here. Oh, hi, Santa. You're here now. No, I just called for jokes, and he goes. No, Santa, no, well, I go, when do you want me to come in? Well, could you come? Some people haven't showed up. Could you come in about 20 minutes? Sure. I'll just tell the two families after you to go screw themselves. You know, because you are special, and I got to come in when you need me to come in.
So what'd you do?
I waited 10 minutes.
You split the difference.
I split the difference.
You negotiated.
I split, yeah.
You're
I,
like a Jewish Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You're Rabbi Claus.
Yeah, yeah. Or Sandy Claus. So, anyway, I go in there, and, you know, I did the gig, and they were nice enough people and stuff like that. So,
look, you motoring through their special holiday cheer.
Anyway, the next day, I've got to be in Jersey. I have one gig that is 2 hours away from me and one gig that's 2.5 hours away. I screwed up. And the gig that's farther away is actually the first one, which I didn't realize. I get in my car. If Vin Diesel was with me, he'd be like, ah, slow down. That's how fast I was driving.
At least Paul Walker would.
Yeah. Funny. So I get to the gig down there, and I walk in, and these kids are mobbing me. You
how
know?
Old are they?
They're about four up to nine.
No, they're youngsters. That's not what they want to hear, Santa.
And they're grilling me. Santa, where have you been? Santa got stuck on the Bell Parkway. You know,
is that what you said?
No.
What did you say?
Oh, I said, well, we got a big trade win and stuff like that, right? I sit down.
Look, you're going all science-y and weathery.
And I go, okay, who wants to hear a story? We don't want to hear a story.
They don't want to hear a story.
No, I go, you want to hear it? So, but this is the way I go, because I got to kill time. Who wants to hear a story? We don't want to hear a story. It was the night before Christmas.
So why and you ask?
Huh?
Why don't you just say, let's do a story?
Because it's a shtick. I'm Santa Claus.
Yeah, but now you're disregarding the children.
Well, I don't care. But anyway.
Santa would care.
So I get through the story,
you
right?
You motor through it.
Yeah, I look down, and there's this kid horsing around my tape player.
Wait, a tape player?
Yeah, I have a cassette. Yeah, but it's not the most technologically.
You have a cassette tape player.
Yeah, because it has the
You're Santa Claus. Can't you have an elf whip you up an MP3?
I'll get there, okay? The MP3 doesn't get the music loud enough. I got to figure that out. And I'm the audio guy for the show, and I play in two bands.
You used to have elves and everything.
Yeah, well, no.
Budget cuts?
Budget cuts.
Elves have been laid off.
So the now I get through that. So I get through the thing. Now let's sing some carols. And I go to hit the CD player. Jingle bells, jingle bells. I'm like, oh, great.
It was a rap version.
Yeah. And I'm like, let's try it again. So it play because the kids were horsing around with the player, you know? So then I.
So your technology is a cassette and a CD.
Yeah. But I'm trying to get to the MP3 player. I have the MP3 player.
So you have all three players.
Yeah. I have the MP3 player, but it's not loud enough. I got to make the music loud enough. But
probably record it louder.
Yeah. Well, then I get to my next gig, and it's good because the DJ is going to handle it. But the DJs don't have a conception. I go, do me a favor, play Jingle Bells. He plays the big band version of Jingle Bells.
Aww.
And I've got to sing. Who am I, Sinatra? I'm Santa Claus.
Give me a little taste of what that sounds like.
Oh, Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle All the Way.
I like that.
Oh, what fun. I'm Santa Claus. I can't sing like that. What do you think? I'm having a martini with, you know, Dean Martin? I mean, come on.
I like that.
Nah.
No?
Yeah. Five. Christmas Eve. I got five more shows Christmas Eve.
Well, we only can hope that at least one of them goes terribly wrong.
Oh, man.
All right. Don't go anywhere. Come back. Drunks in the News. Drunkies in the News featuring Nickelback. I just gotta find our jingle.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
As we always like to do, we like to start this segment with our founding father's drinking term, Benjamin Franklin. Certainly liked the libations. So he came up with over 200 synonyms for getting drunk, getting plastered. This week's installment, took his drops.
Took his drops.
Took his drops. I don't mean if that knows he passed out, he dropped his drawers. I don't know what that means.
Maybe. Somebody took their drop.
Somebody dropped.
Somebody dropped. I think maybe back then, you know, for medicinal purposes, when they made herbs and, you know, medicines, maybe they used drops, and maybe that had an effect on people, so maybe that's where they got took his drops from.
I don't know. It's as good a good answer as any. Anyway, the Kensington Police Service on Prince Edward Island has issued an apology for joking that it would punish drunk drivers by making them listen to Nickelback on the drive to jail. Well, as we have seen, our little post became an international story, and somewhere in the noise, the message of don't drink and drive was overshadowed by negativity towards the band. I said I would play it if you did, the lengthy Facebook apology post Friday reads. Knowing that the Kensington Police Service will be out for the remainder of the year looking for those dumb enough to feel they can drink and drive, the post read, and then when we catch you, we will catch you, on top of a hefty fine and a criminal charge and a year's driving suspension, we will also provide you with a bonus gift of playing the office copies of Nickelback in the cruiser on the way to jail. Friday's apology came just hours after TMZ reported that a representative of the band had contacted Kensington Police and demanded that the post be removed. All right, there's a lot to go through here. Is Nickelback bad drunk music?
Nickelback is very good. Nickelback, you know,
write your letters to Joe Curry.
Nickelback is very good. Nickelback gets that stigma that Winger got because of Beavis and Butthead. Yeah. You know, they're a very good band. They're just as heavy as Metallica on some tunes. You know, and they're one of my favorite bands. So I'm not offended because I get it. People goof on Nickelback. But it just the music is that good where I don't, you know, I don't see why.
I like the music, but I mean, is it bad for being drunk? Does it make you want to vomit?
No, because there's a lot of good drinking tunes in Nickelback.
I would think so.
They're a partying band. There's a whole bunch of drinking songs in Nickelback. So I don't know. You know, I think it's pro drinking. It is pro drinking.
Should the police have apologized?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think they should have apologized?
Yeah.
You're the police.
Yeah.
You got guns. Man up.
No. What do you, you know, it's Nickelback is a great band. And, why would they damn Nickelback? What did Nickelback do to them?
Nothing, but it's a joke.
It's
a joke. Are we that sensitive? We need somebody from the band contacting the police. We're offended.
No, but really, why are you picking on us?
I get it.
You know, you're out trying to sell tickets.
But wouldn't you change people's opinion of you if instead of whining to the police, maybe you mocked that police and everything? You dedicated a song to them. You did a concert for them.
They might be doing that. But you want
to
know something? But here's the deal. Your bread and butter is not an album sales anymore. It's concert sales and merch sales. So you know what? Any negative thing like that could actually hurt you. You know. So you any negativity you want to try to
you don't think demanding an apology is going to hurt them?
I would be pissed. I would want an apology.
I understand you're pissed. But would you have a spokesman contact the police?
Yeah, I would.
Would you?
Yeah. You know what? You bust your ass. You write the tunes. You perfect them. You get them out. You go in the studio. You cut them. You lay out the studio fees. You go out. Now you're trying to push product, and you hope people download your music. Now you got to go do the concert. You hope you get people asses in seats, and now you're trying to move your merch, and you have to have this. Yeah, I kind of, you know, I would tend to be a honey bunch about this, to tell you the truth, because basically it's a livelihood thing.
Well, I think the band... The music that would make me think twice about drinking would be Air Supply. And I like Air Supply, but the music is so depressing that I think if I was, like, out drinking and partying, I'd want to slit my wrist.
Oh, yeah.
I think Air Supply. Now, Air Supply, don't write me. I'm a fan of you guys and everything.
Oh.
I'm all out of love. I get it. But, yeah, I don't think that is good drinking music. All right, when we come back, holiday scams you need to be aware of. You were listening to The Den, but you knew that. Well, it's holiday time. Some of you guys are hearing this before Christmas. Some of you guys are hearing this on Christmas. But there are definitely some holiday scams that you should be aware of. And these come directly from the Better Business Bureau. First warning they say is be cautious when shopping online, because many retailers now have chip card readers. And fraud in brick-and-mortar stores is down, so scammers have shifted their efforts online. They recommend using a credit card, not a debit card, online, and only shop on secure websites. Do you know a website secure, Joe? We've talked about this. I don't know if you recall.
But what I understand is the whole thing with the chip.
Let's see how do you know it's a secure website?
You
okay. you look for the HTTPS, and the last S is for secure. So that's how you know. That's how you know a site is secure.
Right.
HTTPS. That's before every website. So what was your question?
With the chip. I find the chip is so inconvenient. What makes the chip on the card so special? Nobody seems to know.
Not off the top of my head, I think it's harder to read the letters probably to interfere. I don't know.
Right.
I never really. I don't have any cards with chips.
Yeah, I have one card.
Because they cause more problems, it seems.
They're a federal case. It makes it difficult for the crook. Makes it difficult for everybody.
Lookalike websites. When shopping online, make sure to use only legitimate websites. Watch out for URLs that use the same name of well-known brands along with extra words. For instance, I guess Walmart Shopping, for instance, .com. So instead of it being Walmart.com, the dummy site would be Walmart Shopping.
Yeah, make sure it's the name and then the .com.
Right, you got to make sure you have the authentic site. So that's what they're saying. If there's extra words, that should raise a red flag to you.
Right.
So you need to know the website. Well, fake shipping notifications. These can have attachments or links to sites that will download malware on your computer to steal your identity and your passwords. Don't be fooled by holiday phishing scams. We've talked about this before. You got to be careful.
Now, the fake shipping notification, what is this, like a link to like UPS or Federal Express?
But it's not. It looks like a UPS link, but it's not. It would be another one where first glance, it looks authentic.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when you really inspect it, say for instance, UPS is UPS.com. That's their real website. I don't know if it is, but that's their real website. So this could be UPSPackages.com.
Always go into, basically, I do a lot of tracking. Make sure you go into, because they'll say, they'll offer you tracking places where you could track orders and stuff like that. Make sure you go to the genuine article. Just Federal Express. You see FedEx.com. Always their name and the .com.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have to
go right there.
Make sure you get these emails from the real sites. I wouldn't click on any links from an email from any of these sites. I would go to the site itself and then track it from there.
Right. And if you get the tracking information, right, just the tracking number, you go right to the .com site of that carrier.
E-cards. I use these sometimes. Electronic cards can be great fun, but be careful. There's two red flags to watch out for. The sender's name is not apparent. Mm-hmm. And you're required to share additional information to get the card. You shouldn't have to. It's supposed to be an easy, free service. You should just be able to click on it. It should say who it's from, and that should be it.
Any extra step after that, just get off of it and erase it.
Yes. You won't be getting holiday cheer from people you don't know.
Right.
That Nigerian scammer does not love you like you thought he did.
Yes.
Letters from Santa. Joe, are you writing people?
No.
Several trusted companies offer charming and personalized letters from Santa, but scammers mimic them to get personal information from unsuspecting parents. Check with the BB.org, that's the Better Business Bureau, to find out which ones are legitimate. I didn't even know they had these services.
Yeah, what they'll do is you give them information about your child, maybe where you've gone, their favorite thing, their favorite toy, maybe what they did the week before, and they'll write the child and make it more personalized. But however, if they're going to delve into more personal information, then you want to steer clear of it.
So you got to go to BBB.org to find out. Emergency scam. We've talked about this on the show. Be cautious if you get a call or an email from a family member or friend claiming to be in an accident, arrested, or hospitalized while traveling in another country. Never send money unless you confirm with another family member that it's true. That's when you got to get on the horn and call the real person. Don't just try to go through email.
Right. I confirm with a family member because I had a family member that was traveling. Well, ironically, I got one of these while they were traveling. And thank God they called the night before. And they were in a totally different country, totally different location. So I knew it was a fraud. However,
your kin was not in the Benin Republic.
No. However, if we did not have contact with them the night before, it would have raised, a lot of ire on that,
Yeah. Phony charities. Everyone is in a generous mood around the holidays. Scammers take advantage of this with fake charity solicitation emails on social media and sites and even by text. Check out at, you go to charitiesbygive.org before donating. That's a list of all the charities. Give.org. Temporary holiday jobs. Retailers and delivery services need extra help with the holidays. We know this. But beware of solicitations that require you to share personal information online or pay for a job lead. You don't want to pay for anything. Apply in person or go to the retailer's main website to find out who's hiring.
Yeah, you don't have to pay for a job leave. Seasonal work, they need people. They need them quick. They're not going to ask you to pay. They need to get people on board as quickly as possible, so they're not going to charge you a fee.
No, and if you're going to share personal information, again, if you're going to fill out an application online, you're going to get that directly from their site. Don't do it from something that shows up in your email. You download an application then, or you go to the store in person.
Right, correct.
That's the best way to do it. Unusual forms of payment. Beware of anyone who asks for you to pay for holiday purchases using prepaid debit cards, gift cards, wire transfer, third parties, etc. These payments cannot be traced and cannot be done. Free gift cards, pop-up ads, or email offering free gift cards are often just a ploy to get your personal information and can be later used for identity theft. You'll see them, oh, a $50 gift card from Walmart. Just fill out your information. Well, Walmart's not giving away free gift cards, people.
And not at 50 bucks.
No, but whatever the number is. They're not giving those things out. And if it's on social media, it's not legitimate. These things have been going on for years. You have to stay away from things promising you free anything on social media. And finally, the social media gift exchange. Buy one gift and get 36 in return. I haven't even seen that. Have you seen that?
But it boils down to the whole thing. It's too good to be true, you know, than it is, you know. So you got to really watch where you're going with that.
Sounds like what it is. It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, exactly.
So don't do the social media gift exchange. Listen, just give gifts in person. Ship them. Go to the post office. Go to DHL. Go to FedEx. Go to UPS. That's how you do it. Do it the old-fashioned way. The more things you do the old-fashioned way, you know, the way we used to do before all this technology, the less chance you have of being ripped off.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, and say, don't answer. You get these strange calls from people. It's the same thing. Make sure it's somebody you know.
Yes, exactly. And like, all you need to do is go to BBB Scam Tracker and bbb.org/scam tracker, and you could find all the information that you need there. You know, you got to be very careful during this time of year because the scammers are out there and they will take advantage of you any way they can. So you really need to be careful with that. Have you ever been scammed by anything during the holidays?
Have I been scammed during the holidays? Well, I mean, other than getting gifts for people I'm no longer with, that's a scam, isn't it?
Yeah.
You buy that girlfriend a really expensive piece of jewelry and then you break up right afterwards. What a scam that was.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Have you ever had that scam?
Yeah, I think I did.
We all have. We all, she really likes me. No, she doesn't. You got money and you're going to buy her something shiny.
My mom used to tell me a story about her cousin who used to always break up with his girlfriend right before her birthday or the holidays so he wouldn't have to buy her a present.
That's just good planning. That's just good planning. Anything special planned for Christmas?
Just doing Santa Claus. I'll probably go over
there. Doing Santa Claus. That's going to be smart.
Funny. No, 5 Santa Claus gigs. I keep finding feel kind of bad. I won't be able to visit my family this year. Because you know what happens is with the Christmas on the Saturday, got the Sunday, and then, you know, the Monday. It's just not enough time. So it's kind of not fun.
Well, we wish all of our listeners Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah. And, thank you guys for listening on Christmas, if that's when you're listening, or listening before Christmas, or listening whenever you listen. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. All the best to you guys. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please, please, please keep on listening.